This is an alternative amendment to number two. If number two didn't pass, this is a step back, doing a little bit less. Still removes the one section that amendment number two proposed to remove, and that's the restraining language about when a public advocate can be appointed. So leave that at the discretion of the commission and not restrict the terminology or the guide, giving them these guidelines of when they can do that. And in the second amendment, portion of the amendment, it speaks to guaranteeing that the commission would have adequate resources to do this transition to having a separate public advocacy section. The existing staff testimony at the Finance Committee is simply not sufficient. If you're going to break them up and designate some of them only to do this function, and we ought to recognize that and address that in the legislation.
Senator Pierce.
I would move that we divide the question.
Along Senator Pierce.
Mr. President, I would propose that we divide the page 4, lines 24 through 26. 1 through 6 lines be 3A, and lines 7 through 10 be 3B.
Chair would rule that it is divisible. Is there objection? As far as dividing the question, hearing none, then we will divide that as stated between A and B. We'll deal first with section A, page 4, line 24 through 26, which on your amendment sheet is lines 1 through 6. Is there further debate on section A? Senator Pierce?
Thank you. For all the same reasons, because 3A is now much of what 2 was. But for all the same reasons, I believe that 3A should be defeated.
Senator Donnelly.
President, I think it's reasonable that people would have voted against Amendment Number 2 and still vote for 3A. You're still going to maintain that separate advocacy section under 3A, but you're not going to restrict them to this specific criteria of when they can be utilized. So if you like the separate advocacy section, that's still going to be maintained, but we're going to give them more leeway about when they use it rather than restricting when they use those advocates for the public.
Is there further debate? Is it clear to all members the division? Then the question before the Senate is, shall Amendment Number 3A be adopted? Senators may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so Amendment Number 3A has failed to pass the Senate on a vote of 6 yeas and 13 nays. Senator Donnelly,
Amendment 3B. I move Amendment 3B, Mr. President.
There is objection, Senator Donnelly.
Mr. President, the testimony at the Finance Committee was that the existing staff is simply not sufficient if you divide them up and create a new public advocacy section and limit their role to that to fulfill the needs for public advocacy. So unless we add some language to this legislation that identifies that we need to address that problem, we've harmed the public interest by this legislation. We've defeated the purpose of creating a separate public advocacy section. We've actually tied their hands and reduced the amount of public advocacy that's possible to do.
Further debate, Senator Pierce.
To point out to the body that there was testimony on the Senate Finance Committee that perhaps there wasn't enough staff to divide their brains. That testimony, however, came from the entity that is opposing this section of the bill, not from the commission nor from the department, nor have we heard anything from the folks making up the fiscal notes that this would cause an undue expense. On the other hand, it has always been my intent to make sure that the commission, the new Regulatory Commission of Alaska, and, oh, by the way, the AOGCC, are properly funded so they can do their work in an efficient and effective manner. I question whether putting this language in statute is the way one gets there, but I don't have any I don't have any major opposition to it. The budgetary, the annual budgeting and looking at the staffing levels and so on and so forth will continue to come through the legislature and the budget process on an annual basis. So I don't think this language hurts anything.
Is there objection maintained to Amendment 3B? Senator Kelly.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to remain on the other side of the Senate precedent. It seems to me that this language is a little bit broad. The public advocacy section shall include sufficient employees with expertise to represent the public interest in all proceedings in which the chair directs the section to participate. It seems to me that is so broad that any half-competent attorney would see this as a big softball to hit out of the park and take it to court any time that they disagreed with what was coming down or they didn't want a decision to be made in any case. I guess I'm just nervous about the broadness of the language.
Okay, for the taped record, Senator Tim Kelly, I should have stated that. Senator Pierce?
Thank you. I would just point out also to the body, and sitting here listening to the Senator from East Anchorage, it comes to my attention. We also have language in the bill, and presently the commission is allowed to contract out sometimes for expertise, whether it's advisory or advocacy expertise. That continues in this bill. So I think this language, quite frankly, might work against the commission's ability to contract out for specific expertise that they don't have in-house. So I think we probably would be better off to vote against the amendment. Although, I have no problem with the commission having the amount of staff that it needs to do its work in an efficient and effective manner.
Is there further debate on Amendment 3B? Senator Donnelly.
Well, I don't understand how this could hamper their ability to contract out, Mr. President. It doesn't limit contracting out. Other provisions of the bill make contracting out flexibility stronger than ever before for the APUC, and that is maintained in the bill that's before the body here. This just, I think, is common sense. If we're going to go through down this route of separating these folks out into a public advocacy role, we ought to maintain that there be sufficient resources for these now very limited roles to be fulfilled.
Is there further debate on Amendment 3B? Question before the Senate is, shall Amendment number 3B be adopted? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary locked the roll. Any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so Amendment 3B has failed to pass the Senate on a vote of 8 yeas and 11 noes. Madam Secretary, are there further amendments?
Amendment number 4 by Senator Pierce, page 3, line 10, and it's been distributed.
I move Amendment 4.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, Amendment number 4 has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Senator Halford, advancement motion.
I move and ask unanimous consent to me substitute Senate Bill 133 rules amended be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, place in final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, we are in third reading. Madam Secretary?
CS for Senate Bill 133 rules amended, an act creating and relating to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and transferring it certain powers and duties of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, repealing the Alaska Public Utilities Commission relating to the powers of the Chair of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, relating to regulatory cost charges for public utilities relating to the appellate procedures of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Senator Donnelly.
I obviously have remaining concerns about the legislation. I think we, of course, are radically changing how the APUC works, and I think we all recognize that there needs to be a change. I just don't think we've spent enough time on this bill to really feel confident about voting for this particular proposal at this particular time. There's been a lot of CSs appear with very short notice. Committee substitutes have appeared. And it's a very significant step to put these restrictions on the public advocacy role of the commission. I don't know why we'd want to limit the commission's authority and discretion to appoint public advocates. I feel very unsure about that language that we've placed in this legislation. I also remain very uncertain about the issue of the timeliness of the decision-making process of the Public Utilities Commission. I didn't have any amendments to address that today, frankly, because it's a very complex issue and we weren't provided with adequate time in the committee process to address those issues. one of my first terms here, I served as the chairman of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. And all the way back then, 12 to 13 years ago, there were frequent complaints about the timeliness of getting a decision out of the Public Utilities Commission. And we adopted some specific guidelines, some actual months, guidelines in time for the commission to make some decisions because they simply weren't making up their mind. People would go before them and years would go by and nothing would happen. This bill, if we're going to do this kind of major rewrite, we ought to address that in a more depth way than the bill proposes to do. The bill proposes that they basically will study this and do something in regulation that we can re-examine next year. And I use, you know, this old saying in the Finance Committee, that's the it's the fox guarding the hen house there, allowing the APUC to adopt their own regulations to tell them when their decisions have to be made by. They have never been willing to do that in the past, and I doubt that they're going to be willing to do that in the future. And I think that's a disservice to the public that we're not addressing that question at this time in statute. I was handed some federal law earlier today, and as you can see, it's very complex. It regards the Federal Regulatory Commission. And in the federal law, and it's been very problematic to the federal government. Congress has attempted to adopt some guidelines for when FERC makes its decisions, because they were probably having the same problem with them. They wouldn't make up their mind. And it's been problematic on the federal level, too. It's not an easy question. And that's why it wasn't easy for me to come up with an amendment today to propose some specific time amount, because it is a difficult question. It's a tough policy call to know what is a proper amount of time to allow them, or when there should be an exception to a specific amount of time. But without addressing that issue in a more in-depth manner than we have in this, I feel very uncomfortable about voting yes on this at this time. I'm hoping that if it does pass, we'll get some real serious consideration of the timeliness of action in some good regulation on the subject, but I'm not optimistic about that, Mr. President. I mean, they've never been forthcoming on that in the past, and I just don't see any reason to believe they're going to be forthcoming on that now. That's why I think it's this legislature's responsibility to address that question now.
Further debate, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President Pro Tem. I had some original concerns with the legislation before it came to the Rules Committee. Because I know a number of other members of the body, both the majority and minority, had expressed some concerns about the timing of the legislation. That at a time when the British Petroleum ARCO takeover was occurring, that the perception might be, though it was nowhere near the intention of the good sponsor of this legislation, that there might have been a perception that the state was muscling down rather than muscling up in our ability to protect the public's interest in relation to that merger. The sponsor of the legislation heard those concerns. The Rules Committee heard those concerns, and I fully support the changes the Rules Committee made to strengthen the hand of the newly formulated regulatory commission. On the question of pipeline regulation, clarifying the statutes that were a bit murky on that point, and the section that was added, I believe it's Section 16, that allows the new regulatory commission to judge the merger or the takeover to be in the public's best interest. So we've actually strengthened the state's hand in protecting the public's interest at this very momentous occasion with the reorganization of the oil industry in Alaska. So I appreciate the folks who saw that was the right thing to do at this time. And I think the bill was a work in progress and has gotten better here at in the final stages.
Further debate? Senator Pierce.
Thank you. With your leave, I'd like to address a couple of comments made, plus for the public, make sure that we at least have a short statement of what the bill does not do, because it still carries a short title in the computer system as combining the PUC and the ALGCC. I want to make sure people understand what is actually before them. We do accomplish several goals in this piece of legislation regarding both the ALGCC and also the APUC. We are repealing and restructuring the PUC under a new title, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. The new structure will be more capable of addressing the current expanding workload of the commission. The ALGCC is also strengthened in this piece of legislation by adding additional staff and relocating to the same physical location as the PUC, which we are told should happen this September. Long-term efficiencies will be gained by utilizing a common building, sharing of clerical staff, and record-keeping facilities. In addition, we are asking Legislative Budget and Audit to write a report during the interim, which will consider the functions of the two commissions and what structure would best serve the state's interests. But we are not trying to predetermine what that report will bring back to us, as a previous CS did. In terms of the PUC itself, we repeal the PUC and create a new commission effective July 1st, 99. Commissioners shall either be reappointed or replaced. Staff will remain. All regulations and pending matters before the commission will be carried forward to the new commission. The new commission will be composed of five members. The five members shall be members of the general public. At the moment, no requirements are carried in the bill in terms of specific expertise. This gives us the maximum flexibility in acquiring qualified individuals from the general public pool. We strengthen the position of the chairman of the PUC, as was recommended in both the NARA report and also the legislative audit. The chairman shall have limited authority over the commissioners. He or she shall have oversight of all staff, commission staff, and shall assign the workload of the commission and the staff. He or she shall set timelines by which time a matter shall be resolved, and shall determine when advocacy staff is required, given the standards that are laid out in the bill. We have streamlined the hearing process. The chair under this bill would impanel three or more commissioners to a hearing panel to decide a case. This would allow the chairman to assign the applicable number of commissioners depending upon the size of the case. I would maintain, and many people agree with me, that not every case that comes before the PUC needs to have all five commissioners looking at the docket. We have limited our appeals process to only be considered to the full commission when a decision taken is contrary to a commission precedent. We've mandated that the commission promulgate timeliness standards depending on the complexity of the docket for the types of cases that come before the commission, and we have told them that the regulation shall be adopted by December 31st, 99. We have provided something new. Formal hearings can be held before an arbiter in appropriate cases. That should help streamline their functions. And we did establish the separate advocacy section, which has already been spoken to. But we also are muscling up, if that's the proper term, the ALGCC. And I don't want members here to forget that, because it's very important. We were not able to put the muscling up language in Senate Bill 134, if the members would allow me the leave to speak to another bill. That's one we passed that set up a new cost structure for the ALGCC. It's now in the House. We had to put the extra staff and the muscling up, if you will, in this bill. So this bill carries the people that we need to do the work of the ALGCC. They will physically move to the same location as the RCA. We believe they'll be there by September, according to the Department of Administration. The ALGCC would have access to at least one of the hearing officers at the RCA during the transition period, and after July 1st, that should help the ALGCC as they face what is probably going to be a large docket and some interaction with the PUC as they look at the merger of the two major oil companies. The level of institutional knowledge at the ALGCC is unfortunately only one level deep currently. This bill provides the additional staffing that will help us maintain the expertise that we need and have two layers of institutional knowledge, so that then when the retirements that we know are going to happen, we won't lose all of that expertise. Let me quickly say what this bill does not do. It does not combine the two commissions into one. It does not deregulate garbage. It does not transfer pipeline regulation to the ALGCC. It does not make policy changes to either commission. It strictly speaks to making the commission sufficient and effective under the recommendations by the audits. It does not transfer any specific function from one commission to the other, and it does not alter the number of commissioners on either commission. Mr. Chairman, I too have been struggling with trying to figure out some sort of timelines that we could put in statute in terms of the length of time that the commission has to make decisions. We've been working on that for a number of weeks since the House entertained an amendment on timelines on one of their bills. We were never able to come up with a specific timeline that people thought was workable. One of the primary reasons is the commission, the new commission, from time to time deals on joint boards with both the FERC and the Federal Communications Commission. It's very difficult to write in statute timelines that will also fit the timelines of those two entities. And I believe that's why the senator from Midtown was not able to come up with an amendment. Just as I have found over the past 3 weeks, it's almost impossible to do. I would also say, to close, on qualifications of members, the bill does not carry qualifications. We have had suggestions for qualifications from a number of the industry folks who are regulated presently by the present PUC, the future RCA. Frankly, we got one suggestion from Eureka. The telecommunications companies didn't like that. We got a suggestion from one of the telecommunications companies. The Eureka folks didn't like that. We were unable to come up with something that everybody could agree on that made any sense at all. So for the time being, this language is still being carried as open, and there is the maximum amount of flexibility to try to find people who will function in a manner that is not as dysfunctional as the present PUC. Thank you.
Further debate? Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. President Pro Tem. If you look into the dictionary today for the word dysfunctional, what you'll find is a definition of the Alaska Public Utility Commission, because that's about where they're at. The problems that have been inherent with this agency, and as my colleagues have mentioned, the federal agencies that are their counterparts, actually this one is probably pretty well named the way it is, because phonetically it'd be APUC, and it seems to me they kind of get shot around like one of my colleagues does on the ice with a piece of material called the same thing. They get bounced back and forth by whatever the interest is at the time, the pressures are at the time. Decisions get delayed, decisions get extended. And where do those decisions end up? They end up right back here in our laps when somebody attempts to do an end around on the APUC because they're not getting their work done. Then we end up in some type of utility war on this floor. I've seen so many of those over the last several years. That's why I joined with the sponsor in hoping, and I think all this legislation really is a hope and a prayer for the future, that somehow the selection of a new group, maybe with a little different guidelines, maybe with a little better and cohesive staffing, that they will do a better job. And we all want that. Every one of us want them to be able to function more efficiently and to do a better job for all of us, and to do the job that they have of protecting the people of Alaska and making sure that utility rates and competition is fair and on a level playing field. However, the proof is going to be not in what we enact here today, but in a real grant, I think, of privilege, if you will, and a grant of confidence. I hope it's well placed with the current administration is going to appoint the entire panel in one fell swoop. Now, we will have an opportunity here to either confirm or reject that new panel. But let us hope that this administration is more successful with the new panel than they were with the last appointees, who have not been able to function as well as we all would have hoped.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question before the Senate. Shall CS for SB 133 rules amended Senate pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. If any senator failed to vote, the secretary will lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? The secretary will record the vote. And so CS for SB 133 rules amended Senate has passed the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas and 4 nays. Senator Lehman.
Consent that the vote on final passage be considered vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the vote on final passage of the bill will be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Next item on the calendar.
Citations. Honoring Dr. Roy A. Box, honoring Roger Sampson, honoring Alice Horwath, in memoriam Susan Wassman.
Senator Lehman, citations.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. That brings us to unfinished business. Unfinished business. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President. An item in Senate Bill 71 has been brought up, and so I'm going to give notice of reconsideration so that member has a chance to look at it. But now I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 71.
Senate Bill 71, as notice of reconsideration has been given on that bill. Further unfinished business. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on SB 29.
SB 29, notice of reconsideration has been given. Senator Donnelly.
I give notice of reconsideration of Senate Bill 133.
133, notice has been given of reconsideration. Any further unfinished business? Senator Ward.
Yes, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill number 67.
Notice. That was already done.
Was it?
Yes. Senator, for 67, notice has been given. Any further unfinished business? Are there announcements? Senator Torgerson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. They'll take up Senate Bill 31, Mental Health Capital Appropriations, and Senate Bill 32, which is the regular capital appropriation bill. We will recess for the call for floor session, then go back in at 1:30.
Any further announcements? Senator Kelly? Tim Kelly.
Rules meeting upon adjournment for calendar and bills. And am I to understand that Labor and Commerce Committee meeting that was scheduled at 1:30 is canceled today?
The Labor and Commerce Committee has been canceled, yes. That the bills that were going to be heard will be heard on Thursday. Further announcements? Senate will stand at ease. Senator Pierce. Come back to order. Further announcements? Senator Pierce.
There is a majority caucus at 4:30 in the Butchovich Room.
Majority caucus at 4:30. Further announcements? Special orders? Senator Lehman.
I request permission to speak on birthday greetings to a special lady.
Hearing no objection, Senator Lehman, you have the floor.
I know we've gone late, and I don't want to belabor this, but I'm very fortunate to have both my parents still with us, and today is my mother's 80th birthday. And just in case she watches this, either now or later in the day, I just want to wish you, Mom, happy birthday. Hope it's a special day. I love you.
Senator Lehman, you are a fine boy. Any further special orders? Adjournment. Senator Pierce.
Unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow morning.
We are adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday the 5th.